Am I okay? Can you hear me, Larry? Okay, that's good. That's good. Okay, this is what we passed around last week. It's not a role. It's not an attendance thing. It's just your name and your email address. We've got the ones that were turned in last week or given to me last week. We've typed and got them ready. If you were here last week, please review what we've got. Make corrections on this as it goes around. But if you weren't here last week, please add your name. There should be plenty of places. I'm going to start with Dallas, and we'll go around. Okay, so, all right. Bear with me just one second. Okay, we've had a little bit of technical difficulty this morning. Something may not come off exactly the way we want it to, but believe me, we'll make do with what we've got here, okay? And I want you to know that the tech people here are incredible. I have lived with them the last 2 days, and it's just incredible. I just didn't give them the right thing. Okay, so that's my fault. So anyway, we will muddle through this somehow, and it will work out. Okay. This week we're going to continue from last week. We didn't have enough time to finish last week. In the background, I'm a believer in background. We should know what's going on, who's being talked to, what they're being said, what the nature of the times are. And of course, this is the fourth of the Gospels. The other three Gospels, of course, are known as the Synoptics, okay? And that simply means that their stories parallel each other, and they basically, it's not that they're saying the same thing, but they're recording the same events in the same history. John's is not part of that. John's gospel is the stories behind the stories. There are things that he doesn't include in his gospel that have already been out there for 20 years. Okay? And I thought we'll do a timeline in just a few minutes just to give you an idea. But the last gospel written was Mark on or around 70 A.D., 20 years ago from this one, okay? So the three Gospels have already been out there circulated. John's letters are in circulation right now because he wrote the three letters prior to writing the Gospel. He's writing the Gospel, sitting down, putting everything that he remembered, all the witnessing that he did of the events, and especially at the hand of Jesus, he is recording these. His gospel is the only chronological gospel of Jesus' Judean ministry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes, sir.
Doctrine and to compare with the false doctrine that has been started being taught in some of the congregations.
That is exactly right. In fact, the first 14 verses are going to be an introduction to the gospel, and they are going to dismiss two false teachings immediately. One is what the gentleman is referring to is what we mentioned last week. At this point in time, at 90 AD, it's not called Gnosticism. It will be called Gnosticism in about 60 years. But the specific thing he is going to attack in the first 14 verses is Docetism. Docetism is a type of Gnosticism. Okay, see, I don't want us to get all involved in the isms, but there's dualism, there's Cerinthianism, Docetism. Docetism says, and that's the reason it is so important when we get to verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The specific translation of that particular verse is the Word pitched his tent among us. Okay? We're going to get to that in just a second. It's from if you looked at the Greek Old Testament, I'm not saying you do. I don't want to get all into that, but the word for tent, the word for dwelt there, is the Greek word they used in the Old Testament for tabernacle. We're going to get to that in just a second, okay? So let's go ahead and get started with lots of background, because we want to know better this person that's written the book and where he's come from. The John's Gospel is not so much a life of Jesus as it is a powerful, powerful presentation of his deity. John is going to show seven signs, and they all show Jesus' power over nature. Okay. Many miracles that he performed, John specifically targets the ones that show his control of nature. Okay. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to give you bread. He is the bread. He is the water. He is the way. He's not teaching the way. He is the way. Okay. And again, the seven signs, we just alluded to that. We got here, I think, last week. His father was Zebedee. His mother was Salome. Zebedee, of course, fishing business. John and James and Peter and Andrew were partners in that business. Obviously, we may mention the fact that when they left, what happened to his business? Well, let me tell you something. Zebedee was proud as he could be. Always remember. Now, there are three schools that Jewish boys go to. At the age of five, they go to something called Bet Sefer. Now, don't let me get too involved in all of this, but at the age of five, they sit at the feet of a rabbi, and he passes around a jar of honey to every one of them. And they've got a black slate in front of them. These are five-year-old boys. I want you to think about your five-year-old son or your five-year-old grandson sitting there around the rabbi. And he pours, and he asks, the first thing he asks them to do is pour the honey over your slate. Odd, huh? And then he says, take your fingers, dab the honey, and lick it. The word of the Lord is sweet like honey. And that's the way he starts. And for the next, gosh, they're going to be there every day, half a day at least, 6 days a week, okay? They're going to memorize the Torah. By the time they're 10 years old, they know the Torah by heart. Then at that point, they go to what the next school, and they'll be there for another 4 years, but only the best of the best, the 10-year-old best of the best, get to go to this school. It lasts about four years, and at 14, they go to the third school, only the best of the best, because these people are probably going to be rabbis. Okay? They're going to see teachers like they've never seen. But let's talk about that middle school. I think it's Bet Midrash, I believe. Bear with me, and I'll tell you in just a second. It won't take a minute. Bet Midrash. I've just had a blank. Bet Talmud. I should have thought about that. Bet Talmud is the second school. This is where, remember, we catch Jesus at the temple at 12 years old, and they said, "Oh, the questions." What they're talking about is a form of communication, if you will, among learned type people that Jesus is becoming. See, Jesus is in Bet Talmud right now. He is, in effect, almost, he's not a Talmudin, but he's getting there, okay? One of the things they teach the boys is how to do this back and forth question and answer thing. And so, see, remember, we've got verses and we've got chapters and verses. We can say Malachi 5 verse 4. They didn't. What they did is they took a piece of... It's not a cryptogram. It's not a crossword puzzle. It's taking a piece of something out of a verse, and then someone else says, oh yes, and they're talking three verses before it or four verses after it. You with me? In other words, it's not a mind game. It's almost like mental scriptural telepathy. Okay? And that's what these young men are brought further up to do. By the time they're 14, they're ready for Bet Midrash. Okay. Anyway, I don't want to get in that because that's a whole other situation. We need to tell you that Salome was part of the women in the group of women that went with Jesus, accompanied him when he was in Galilee. She took part in providing the burial spices. John the Apostle is prominent in Jesus' early ministry, named only four times in the book of Acts, once in Paul's letters. His residence was in Palestine until the overthrow of the Jewish state, because Jesus had told them, and we touched on this last week, in AD 67, I looked the guy's name up. I told you wrong last week. It's Cestius Gallus. He was the general. The Roman armies encompassed Jerusalem in AD 67. And what had Jesus told them? When you see the abomination of desolation, when you see when you see the city encompassed by armies, you get out of there. Because what happened in the first battle? The Jerusalem won. They pushed them back to Caesarea. So the Roman armies fell back to Caesarea, and every Christian got out of there. Most of the Christians went to a set town called Pella, P-E-L-L-A, northeast of Jerusalem, northeast of the Sea of Galilee even. Okay, here's Jerusalem. Here's the Dead Sea. Here's the Sea of Galilee. Pella's up here, over 400 miles away. John went to Ephesus, because that's where God wanted him to go. John went to Ephesus. Of course, he's going to later be basically, he's going to pastor basically seven congregations. He's going to be the elder. In fact, they called him John the Elder. Remember from last week? We talked about that. Okay, so he moves to Ephesus. The three epistles have already been written before the gospel. Okay. Now, what did I do wrong? Okay, there we go. Right. Okay, he became part of the inner circle with his brother James and Peter. They witnessed the resurrection of Jairus' daughter, saw the glory of the transfiguration, occupied position next to Jesus at the Passover, and saw the agony of Jesus in the garden, and he and Peter followed Jesus after his arrest. He goes openly into the house of Caiaphas. Now, who's Caiaphas? Caiaphas is a Sadducee. His father-in-law is Annas. And Annas was a Pharisee. Annas continued to be called the chief priest even when Caiaphas was the high priest. Okay. Whose house does Jesus have the first illegal Jewish trial? Annas. Whose table next week is Jesus going to overturn in the court of the Gentiles? The bazaar of Annas. Okay. The situation is this. They're Sadducees. Okay, you've got Pharisees and Sadducees. We'll get into that. I tell you what, let's park that for just a second. We'll move in that when we get to John, because the Pharisees have been sent by the Jewish council, which is a Sanhedrin, by the Jewish council to investigate John. When we get to John, we'll go there. So, also, Jesus committed the care of his mother to John. Okay, so think about it just a second, just a little bit more. We don't know how long Mary lived after the crucifixion, but we do know this: she was in the house, she was in John's house. And guess who got a chance to talk to her? That's right. There is no nativity scene in the book of John. But verse 5 gets awfully close to one. Yes, June, right?
Also only one parable.
Yeah, he stayed away from the parables. He did. You're right. Right. See what's so interesting too are the parentheticals in there. You'll see parenthetical comments all the time where he says, "This is the reason I said that is this right here," or he gives you a heads up on a certain event, or this is what happened here, or this is what's going to happen there. He said that because of something, something, something. Okay, we're gonna try to highlight those too as we go. Thank you. Okay. John's gospel alone follows the chronological, we've already said that, shows Jesus' ministry. This is where we know Jesus' ministry was 3 years, because it chronicles that. Raising of Lazarus, the discourse, the night of his betrayal, and the comforter. Let's just, there's something I was going to say. Missed it. Okay, this is the only book in the Bible that states clearly and distinctly its purpose. And that purpose is, but these things are written. What did he just say? There are many more things previous to this, where I stopped it at the conjunction. There have been many things written. Many signs have been done. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. What did we see so often, especially in the first letter of John? Life is in his name. Life is in his name. The thing. Okay, let me catch up with everybody just a second. Okay, now we're going to get into chapter 1. So open your books and let's move. Okay. Now remember DeBar from last week? I didn't have time to change the slide. Okay, Yahweh. We're familiar with Yahweh. Yahweh is God. Okay. Debar-Yahweh is, what would you think that would be? Debar-Yahweh. Dabar means word, but it also has the connotation deed. In other words, the way the first verse reads in John is, "And in the beginning was the word and deed. And the word deed was with God, and the word deed was God. He was with God in the beginning." This is important because Dabar. Dabar means word, but it also means deed. What God says gets done. When it speaks, there is action too. See, Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is the Creator. This is what He's going to say. Everything was made. What does it say? He is the image of the living God. He's the very image of the living God, is from Colossians. Everything that was made by Him. And okay, another, didn't mean to stutter on that one, but when I saw Dabar, okay, the Greek, now this is Hebrew. Dabar is Hebrew. Word deed. The Greek is logos. Logos. Now there are two words for word in Greek. Only one in English. Like the four loves. Remember, you've heard that before. When Jesus speaks, His utterances are rhema. R-H-E-M-A. But when it refers to the deity, it's logos. And think about it. In our own language. Biology. Physiology. Neurology. You see it? See, that logos is right. It's just interesting how this goes on. God does not miss any opportunity to infiltrate our lives and our society if we just pay attention. If we just let Him. There's always something going on. Remember what we said last week? Jesus sees what others miss. He is aware when others are oblivious. See, that's what He wants us to have, is the ability to see others. Once we forget about ourselves, we can see the other person. We can care about them more than we care about ourselves. Okay, let me see if I've got everything there. You see, the situation is what John is saying. Jesus is the source of life and light. He is the source. And everything was created by Him. See, when He walks over the hillsides, He formed them. Even the hill that led to Calvary. When He walks through and the valleys and the glens and He sees the trees that He made. He made them. Even the tree that from which the cross will be built. And when He cupped Adam's jawline and his chin, He cupped every face in this audience. That's your Savior. John is helping us understand that. Okay? Let's move on to the next slide. Now what? Oh yeah. Oh certainly, Gordon. Gordon, please. Oh yeah. Please forgive me. I want to, Gordon, 1 second. Please raise your hands. We've got a floating microphone. Rick has his running shoes on. He will get to you quickly. I want to hear. Don't think for a moment I want to take over this thing. I do love to talk. Okay. I do. I love this stuff. But stuff. Forgive me. I didn't mean to be. That came out wrong. But I want you to say things too. You just raise your hands at the drop of a hat, if you would. Go ahead, Gordon.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, you know, you talked about the scripture at the end that he says, you know, the purpose of this is so that they would know he is the Messiah, the Son of God. And it's interesting because, again, you've mentioned the fact that this gospel is so late. He actually has his two audiences he has to address, Jews and Gentiles.
Very good. Very good. Well done.
Yeah. So when he starts using the logos, the word, I see him as trying to think about how can I address both groups? Because the Greeks don't know Messiah.
Right.
That's not a concept of theirs, but I gotta communicate something that both of them are going to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important lesson for us.
Right.
That as we're talking about people and trying to show them Jesus being the Son of God, we need to figure out ways of speaking, quote, their language to communicate that so they can understand it and not our religious language that they don't understand.
Very well done. Well done. He's exactly right. Remember the time. Go ahead. Rick, right over there. Remember the times. It's 90 A.D. Lots of, there are no more apostles. John's the last one.
Okay, and also this verse, the very first beginning, is very much a religious treaty, because he's saying that in the beginning was the Word indeed, and the Word indeed was with God, the Word indeed was God, and he was with God in the beginning. There was a teaching in the church at time, which his brother, his epistle says, came in through the side door, and it starts a big problem with the church in the first century.
That's right.
But these specific words are defeating that. And especially when he goes on in verse 16, and it became flesh among us.
Right.
Because though they did not believe he came in the flesh, they didn't believe he was the Word of God. And these people were part of the New Testament church.
That's right. That's right. Well done. This gentleman is one slide ahead of me every time. What's your name?
Ray Allen.
Hey, Ray. Nice to meet you. Okay, because, and I'm going to back it up. Come on. Do this. Okay, something. Chris or David, it's not working. What am I doing wrong? It's frozen. The next slide is going to exonerate me. Okay. The Word deed became flesh and dwelt among us. Here is the heresy that Ray has referred to twice now. Docetism. What does the root mean? From dokio to seem. The docetic Gnostics taught that the Word did not come in the flesh. It taught that the Spirit came upon the body of Jesus afterwards and left him before the cross. I know what you're saying. How in the world could that have gotten into the... Believe me. You remember where Ephesus is. Ephesus is right here. Right here, and here come all kind of caravans from the Mideast. All types of peoples, different nations, foreigners, different ideas, different isms coming in. And they're going right through Asia Minor there. And John has seven different congregations. Not that he oversees as some, you know, king. They're just using his wisdom and his knowledge and his abilities as a not simply an apostle of Jesus Christ, but as an elder of the church. And he's helping guide those congregations. They're always looking to him. Okay? And he sees all this stuff come in. Sure, he can't stand it. You ought to see some of his writings only into the first letter as he moves toward the third and fourth chapter. You can see he's irritated. At one point he says, don't you let them through your door. Remember that? Don't even let them in your house. Okay? It's just real fascinating. Now, one thing, bear with me just a second. I want to make sure I have got everything going here. Okay, now, let's do the dwelt thing. Okay? Dwelt here. Okay, and the Word deed became flesh and dwelt among us. He pitched his tent. We've already done that. The tent here comes from the Greek word that means tabernacle in the Old Testament. Okay, so it's and the glory. Remember, the glory of the Lord was in the tabernacle. See, the glory of the Lord. It was the glory here that this verse also has. Let's read it real quick. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen His glory. We have seen divine presence. That's what glory means here. Glory, and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay, so. So John immediately, within the first 14 verses, not only is combating Docetism, he's defeating Docetism. And he's defeating this Gnosticism. Now again, it's not called Gnosticism at this early date. But the fact that it's infiltrating The church is what's tough, if you will. Okay, so let's move. I tell you what, let's do this. Let's go on and get into John because we're going to be here for a little bit. I'm trying to think if there's something I want to do. First, let's do this. Let's do this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. What has happened? God chose Israel to be the light of the world. That was their job. That was their job, to go out and convert nations because they would see Israel as the light, or as the blessing of God, the light of God. Okay? But what did they do? They failed. They took on the colors of the world, didn't they? They were chameleons, all right, of the world. And they failed. And so what he did, he sent his only son. He sent Jesus Christ. He sent the Word deed. When the Word deed puts on flesh, we call His name Jesus. Jesus now is the light of the world. And one chapter, pretty soon, He's going to proclaim that. Okay? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, this is the second thing He's going to combat. And at first, you're going to kind of not like it, but believe me, it's not John. It's his followers. Okay, you remember it from the book of Acts. What baptism did Apollos know? He only knew one baptism, John's baptism. How many followers of John's baptism were rebaptized? Even more so, see, John is seeing this in AD 90 already. As far into the ADs as 200, followers of John still think he was the Messiah, John the Baptist. Okay, a man was sent from God, his name was John. Okay, John the Baptist. But you see, John the Baptist, John will tell you, I'm the voice. That's what he said, I'm the voice. That's all John said. Because John's whole life was a sermon. His whole person was a sermon. He never once brought any attention to himself. All of the attention was put to the Savior. All of the attention to the Messiah. That's where he put there. Jesus said, no greater man walked the earth than John the Baptist. John the Baptist wasn't a part of this business that by even in 200 AD there were followers that still thought he was the Messiah. So you see, look at the next verse. This is very important. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. Look at this verse. He himself was not the light. Again, who was it? Gordon. He said, John's writing for more than just you think. Because see, people, this writing, we're still thinking John the Baptist was Messiah. Not everybody, but some. Okay? And so he battles Gnosticism, specifically Docetism. He battles the fact that John the Baptist is not the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. John, he himself was not the light. He came to what? Witness to the light. Okay, so now let's get into John the Baptist because we love John the Baptist. I mean, he's one of our favorite people. Now, here's the situation. Okay, he's mentioned early. This is the reason all of a sudden, I mean, we barely even get out of the introduction and John the Baptist's name comes up in chapter 1. Isn't that interesting? Right? So, this is the reason it happens, because John is so aware of what's going on around him. And that makes it more interesting to us to be aware of what John is aware of, so we understand how the logic of his writing. Okay, there was a man sent from God. Now this, I love this. I think I mentioned this last week. I love this. I found this in a book, and it took me an hour to find it. Where's my water? It took me an hour to find it on the internet. So, and it's kind of blurry, but that's the best I could do. But these, see, it says when Jewish leaders were sent, Jewish leaders, this means these people, this is part, this is, they came from the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is a body of 71 men, Pharisees and Sadducees, okay? Pharisees are religious, all right? They know their stuff. The Pharisees were those top students, okay? Remember the students? They're the top students. There's only about 6,000 of the Pharisees in the Jerusalem at this time. But part of them is part of the Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish council, which is the ruling folks, okay? When they see something like John happening, they investigate it. So this is just an investigation. Okay. Sadducees, by the way, were irreligious. They were very wealthy. They were landowners. Okay. They did not believe in the resurrection. We'll do a little bit more of the Pharisees and the Sadducees as we go on. But see, the Pharisees, what were they always looking for? Remember? No. Huh? Okay, true. Okay, both of you are right. But what I'm looking for, okay, they read the scriptures for eternal life. That's what they wanted. What was that, a bell? Okay. All right. When the Jewish leaders came, first thing John says, I think we went over this last week too, this kind of the back and forth. Remember Malachi 5 verse 4? No, I'm not Elijah. Okay, Deuteronomy 18:15. No, I'm not the prophet. And then John says, Isaiah 40 verse 3, I'm the voice. See, I'm fascinated by that. I hope you are too. They're so knowledgeable. See, these folks up here on the hill, they've memorized the entire book of all the Holy Scriptures. See, by the time you get through the third school, Bet Midrash, you have memorized the entire Holy Scriptures. Memorized.
Okay. Why do you think John the Baptist was the one, because of his parents' background?
Okay. Thank you, Tim. Good, great. Great question. Here's not comment. Exactly right. See, John had credentials. This is the reason they had so much respect for him. They knew who his father was. His father had been a high priest. Remember Zacharias? But his mom, Elizabeth, she was a daughter of Aaron. Okay? He had tons of credentials. But you see, he even ate like Elijah. And remember now, he said, I'm not Elijah. But you know, later Jesus is going to say what he was preventing there. Now, the Pharisees were not reincarnation people. They were eternal life people. But see, they expected, and John knew this, John the Baptist knew this, they expected Elijah to come back, period. In other words, Elijah. John came in the spirit and the power and the message and the play of Elijah. Okay? He even wore the same clothes as Elijah. Okay, we've got to go. Okay. Oh, I messed up. Are we going to be able to do it? We're not. It's trying. Okay, let's just leave it alone and I'll run my mouth, okay? Oh, well, thank you. Laughter means good. Okay, that's good, that's good. Okay, let me just run through some notes real quick and catch up with you. What we've got here, this is what I didn't do right. This is powerful. I would give anything if you could see this. John baptized Jesus, didn't he? This is a moving situation. It's going to show you what these priests were looking at. That's the reason I wanted the video there. Looking down at John baptizing. Remember, why do you baptize? What did they say? If you're not the Messiah, if you're not Elijah, if you're not the prophet, then why are you baptizing? What are you doing? Because they knew that somebody that did something like this, to them, baptism was a religious rite. Now, it is uncertain that they were baptizing proselytes at this time. That's uncertain. I could not get any confirmation on that so that they would understand what baptism was in a sense. Okay. But the situation is they knew one thing. This guy's establishing a religious rite here. And we want to know why he's doing that. Because, and see, they're looking down there and what do they see? He's baptizing Jews. Why are you baptizing Jews? See? They want to know why. Well, then what? John's answer basically is this. He says, I baptize with water. There's one coming to baptize with fire. I'm baptizing with water because, see, Hang with me. I'm attaching these people to me and my message. What was his message? Message of Elijah. Repent. John's specific message was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay? What he was doing was preparing them for the way of the Messiah. And so here, that's what he was doing. Okay? So they didn't leave him frustrated or irritated or whatever you want to say. They just left him because he's going to insult them. As you know, he calls them vipers. Okay. And they know that they're basically not welcome. See what you've got with the Pharisees. As knowledgeable as they are, they took pride in their knowledge. They were arrogant. See, God wants humility. I would give anything if you could see this, but I want you to picture a baptism scene. There's just tons of people all around me. And there's the bell, and I promised you I'd never go over the bell. Okay, but this gives me the ability to possibly bring this later when I give them the right stuff. Okay, but I want you to picture a baptism going on, just number after number. There's tons of people trying to get in to be baptized. And on his way is Jesus walking to the River Jordan. It will change. That video will change your life if you just see it. I know it's man did it. I understand it's a depiction, but it's depicted so well. It is incredible. Thank you so much for lingering. Next week, I'm going to be gone, but I will miss you. Someone will be here. They'll talk about chapter 2, which is the overturning of the tables. Now, this is the first overturning of the tables. This is happening around 31 to 32 A.D., okay? There will be a second one, okay? And it'll be for the same reason, all right? Thank you so much. Appreciate your laughter and your smiles. Thank you very much.